Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And this is a show about proof. Proof of what, you might ask? How about proof of life force? Science doesn't know much about life force. It's interesting that they don't, but we're going to find out all about life force. This is the scientific basis of it. And it's a book that holds a breakthrough physics of energy medicine, healing, chi, and quantum consciousness. And the author of this book is a physicist, Dr. Claude Swanson, who is our guest. And he has written this quite massive book of scientific proof of life force. Claude, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Peter. Glad to be here.
I'm so glad you could join us. This book is quite amazing. You must have worked on it for 30 years.
That's not far off, really.
Right. It has so much in it. And your background is you're a physicist in MIT and Princeton.
Yes, that's right. Undergraduate MIT, PhD Princeton, right.
You've been around, and you've been intrigued by what science not only doesn't understand, but can't even wrap their hands around at all. And you've been
I just want to say, I had a conventional physics education. You know, the idea was I was learning all the rules of the universe and how things are supposed to operate. And a few years after I was finished, I began hearing rumors about something called remote viewing. And that, you know, for anyone who's conventionally educated, when you hear about something like this, where people's minds can be set out into the universe and bring back information from far away, your mind just kind of boggles. You can't really believe it. But now, many years later, we have lots of evidence that these things really happen. So we're kind of learning that the mind has a lot more power and more abilities than our conventional science would have explained. You know, if you take the major forces I was taught about in school, like electromagnetism and gravity and the nuclear forces, you can't understand how it's possible to affect things at a distance or transfer information. But we're learning through lots of experiments that these things really do happen. So we're sort of at the crossroads of a new revolution in physics as we start to look at this new force and try to understand how it is that we can do these things.
And your book is packed with research that actually, and well illustrated, that shows the proof of energy as it moves through what we might think of as time and space, but it obviously works on a different level, and yet the results are there. And I guess that's what is really important, is that these experiments actually show that, for instance, in the early part of your book, you talk about Qigong masters and what happens when they use their energy, and then how do you have proof of their energy?
Right. We're very blessed. We're living in a time now where we in America are talking to and interacting with the Chinese, who have a 4,000-year-old history and tradition of dealing with this kind of energy. For them, this is the conventional medicine. The Eastern medicine uses this energy called qi, which is really controlled by the mind and is really essential for the health and the life of every living creature. And there are certain people called qigong masters who are part of a healing tradition in China, and they can use this energy to cause changes in experiments that physicists can measure. So we have lots of hard data now that this energy is able to change decay rates of radioactive elements, affect the structure of water, causing changes in various types of ways of measuring the molecular structure of water. Lots of different things that you can measure in the laboratory, bending laser beams, things like that. And the amazing thing about this force, qi, or the life force, is that these individuals can control it at a distance. they don't have to be right next to it. They can go 1,000 miles away. And we have data from the National Physics Institute in China showing that the most expert of these people can do it, can affect things even at large distances. So we're talking about a new kind of force that in Western science doesn't really exist. And yet when we look back, it's really the essence of what enables us all to live. It's the key to how we're able to metabolize our food so efficiently, how we can heal ourselves so well. It's the central part of the traditional Eastern medicine. So it's really an important time as we try to get in the West, get our science to upgrade and modernize and try to include this new force and understand how it fits in.
It's a whole new way of thinking. And Western medicine is so scientifically based on the externals. And everything, not only does everybody need to see the proof, and in China, I'm sure they needed to see the proof too, but they saw it experientially. You know, over thousands of years, they weren't using scientific instruments. They were using their lives to see how this force could shift them. And even shift objects and move things around. And science just doesn't want to ignore anything it doesn't already understand, Western science. So to have somebody like you devote your life to bridging this, to using science and material results that can be quantified so that the Western mind can even think about this or even be willing to acknowledge it at all.
So, yeah, well, one of the things that I've been struggling with as I've been studying this over the past 30 years is that we in the West really do think in a different way. We have a different paradigm. Western physics is based on the idea of materialism. We think of everything based on particles, which then have force fields, and then they interact with other particles with forces. And that's kind of our model. The Eastern tradition is very different. And Qi, the life force, these traditions go back at least 4,000 years into many of the cultures that are found in Asia and even other places around the world. So the more you look into it, the more you find that these forces are not new. They've been around a long time, but we in the West have just been ignoring it. You go back 100 years when quantum physics started. In the early days, Einstein and Niels Bohr used to have debates about what happens when you observe an experiment, when you make a measurement. And they noticed that when an observer makes a measurement, he actually affects the experiment. There is a quantum effect when the observer makes a measurement. So they knew even then that consciousness does affect physical reality, and they had to take it into account. But after that first admission, pretty much since then, Western physics has ignored consciousness, and you can't even publish papers on consciousness in mainstream physics journals. It's considered, well, that's something else. That's far-out stuff. And yet now we're finding that consciousness really does affect physics in a wide variety of ways. And the more we study it, the more we're finding that we have to include the effects of consciousness in understanding all of the things that happen in the universe. So that's really what I'm trying to do in this book, is pull together experiments and evidence from lots of different traditions and lots of different scientists to show that this force, the life force, is a real force that has consequences you can measure, that it's really essential to understanding how healing works. And it's also essential to understand how consciousness enables us to reach out into the universe and get information from other places. So it's really an important part of understanding the inner workings of our universe that's been kind of left out of Western mainstream physics.
And even in medicine, there's medicine is not interested in information fields. It's not interested in vital force and the vitality of organs and glands other than what their chemistry is. Whereas if you were looking at the energy of the body, it speaks from its source of what makes it tick. And it changes the nature of how we look at the body, how we understand health and wellness. And it's totally different than Western medicine only looking at the results of all of this. If there's energy missing, for instance, they only know the results of it. They have no idea that it has to do with energy missing.
Yeah, the Eastern traditional medicine was based on a whole different paradigm where you pay the doctor when you stay well. It's all based on preventive medicine and identifying health problems very early and correcting them. That's really how the doctors were paid in the old Chinese system. While we, the big bucks are always after you get sick, then you go to the hospital and, you know, spend a huge amount of money trying to fix it, which is after the fact. It's a very different way of looking at things. The other part that I have learned in writing this book and the research I've done is that there's an understanding of what a living system is that is pretty much missing in Western science today. We know the DNA. We have DNA molecules, and that has the genetic code of life. We know that the DNA produces various proteins and other structures that make each person individual and unique. But, you know, in our bodies, in a human body, the DNA for one person is the same throughout the body. In your toenail, in your hair follicle, in your cornea of your eyes, in your brain tissue, in your liver tissue, the DNA is identical. Yet somehow the DNA knows to make different types of tissue, different types of proteins, different structure in different parts of the body. This has been one of the missing big questions in Western physiology for a long time. What I've discovered is that really there is a blueprint, an energetic hologram, if you like, of energy. They're called biophotons. Every DNA in the body is constantly making electromagnetic signals called DNA, called biophotons. And these couple together, there's work done in Germany by Fritz Albert Popp, which shows that basically inside the body, we're filled with light. These light signals from the DNA connect together in a coherent way, making a hologram like a laser. And so there's a pattern that is kept inside the body. There's actually a guide to how the DNA knows to specialize, to make a liver cell if it's in the liver, to make a fingernail cell if it's in the fingernail. So this idea of a energetic hologram in the body is one of the really new discoveries in energetic medicine. It's the key to wellness because it tells the cells how to heal. If you tear something or you cut something, those cells need to know how to specialize when they make new cells to repair the wound.
So,
and it's that blueprint. It's a blueprint
right.
That tells them how to do that.
So what you're saying is that these biophotons are, and the programming of them is like a biocomputer in the body that actually guides the DNA. So when we hear all about DNA, I haven't heard anybody talking about biophotons. So except you, I mean, you know the other people who are, but I don't know them.
Yeah.
So where is science going with this?
Well, it's a fairly new field. Fritz Albert Popp is a scientist in Germany. Back in the early 70s, he was the first person who discovered how important biophotons are. Of course, at that time, he was ridiculed. He experienced enormous difficulties initially doing research. 40 years later, it's pretty much the accepted norm among scientists at the forefront in doing research now that there's a huge body of research to show that the DNA is a very active a creator of signals, like the photons, receives them and sends them throughout the body, so that this coherent blueprint really does seem to be real. So this is sort of becoming the new norm, if you like, for understanding how it is that we regulate our own growth and our healing. The important thing for energy medicine is that whenever there's a defect in your pattern of this blueprint, whenever that leads to illness. That's the first thing that has to happen when illness occurs. So when you want to understand how energy healers are able to look inside the body and sense when something's wrong and make changes, it's because they're tapping into this energy field, this energetic blueprint that's associated with the DNA, which is both electromagnetic, which is the biophotons inside the body, and there's also a part outside the body which is connected to that, which is another recent discovery. It's called the torsion field, and that's really what makes up the aura. People who've heard about energy healers talk about the aura, this energy field outside the body, and yet our scientists have been unable to measure it so far because it's not a conventional electromagnetic signal. It's a torsion field, which the Russians discovered about 40 years ago. So there are these new discoveries that are really helping us to take energy medicine from a sort of a mythological, traditional format into something scientific, where we're starting to develop instruments now that can measure these fields and understand them in a scientific way. So it's an exciting time as these two worldviews, the East and the West, kind of come together.
And now there's a different terminology about the aura being a torsion field, but to a lot of people that doesn't mean anything other than the same thing, as they might as well say aura. So as a torsion field, what does that add to the quality of the aura to know that it's a torsion field?
Well, one area that has been interesting to me is energy healing, is the way that some people are able to send their energy, and we'll just use that word energy, and to cause healing of other people at a distance. These Qigong masters I mentioned in China are famous for that. It's a long tradition, lots and lots of scientific evidence to show it. I have lots of evidence in my book. My book has 720 pages, 1,500 references, over 400 graphs and figures, lots and lots of data to back up what I'm saying. But the bottom line is that there are these people who are able to correct the patterns, to do healing of others from a distance by using what they call energy. The big question and the big challenge for science is, how does that work? What is that? What kind of energy? How can you possibly heal somebody or have any kind of effect on somebody else thousands of miles away? If you go back to the biophoton idea, yes, inside the body we now know there are these little pulses of light from the DNA called photons, and they connect the DNA one to the other and allow them to communicate, and that acts like a hologram inside the body. But that's energy. Photons are energy. If you try to affect somebody a thousand miles away, it would take enough energy to light up a lighthouse. You know, it would be huge amounts of energy that would totally exhaust the person instantly. So using electromagnetism is not a practical way to explain how energy healing works. The way it works apparently is this other force, a new force that the Russians have discovered back in the 50s. Nikolai Kozarev was a very respected astronomer who first discovered this. He called it torsion, and it gets created whenever we create photons. Whenever light is made, the Russians claim that these torsion waves are also produced, but they take very little energy, and they penetrate much better than light waves do. So inside the body, we're mostly biophotons, but outside the body, this pattern is maintained by this torsion field. And that's what we're able to send long distances. That's what the healers are able to use to affect other people. And so there's a huge amount of information that's in Russia. It's a lot of it's been sort of leaking out into translations and publications in recent years, but it really does seem to me to have the key elements that we need to be able to put together a complete scientific model of how energy healing works.
Now, a torsion field just sounds like energy, but we're actually talking about patterns of energy that are meaningful. And so the torsion actually holds meaning.
Right. It's really because inside the body, the DNA is all the time emitting and absorbing little biophotons, little pulses of light, and each little DNA acts like a laser in a way. There's a coherence to the energy from each DNA molecule. This is one thing that Pop has been able to show, so that inside the body, the electromagnetic signals going on are coherent. They have a relationship one to the other, a phase relationship, which means they're able to produce a hologram. But from the Russian work, we also know whenever one of these photon pulses gets created, it also makes a torsion wave. So that while you have a holographic pattern of electromagnetism inside the body, we have a holographic pattern of torsion outside the body. That means there's a structure to it. It's able to create the various structures of energy outside the body, which, if people know, they're called chakras and things like that. There's a logic to this whole picture, and the whole picture is developed from trying to put together all these various pieces, a lot of which are quite recent. For example, one of the really exciting areas that all fits with this is acupuncture. Acupuncture, as you know, was pretty much unknown in America until about 1970 or 72, when Nixon went to China, and one of the people in his party came down with appendicitis and had to be treated by the People's Anti-Imperialist Hospital in Beijing, and they used acupuncture as part of the process, and that's how acupuncture became famous and achieved notoriety, and the president dictated that a study be done of acupuncture in America. Well, you know, today, 40 years later, we're still struggling to understand some of the science behind acupuncture. In the last 5 years, Korean scientists have been able to photograph the meridians, these tiny little tubules that go through the body that carry the acupuncture signals. They're called acupuncture meridians. And so now we have documented proof these things are real. But even more recently, it's been discovered they act like waveguides. They carry little microwave signals, millimeter wave and other types of signals through the body that help keep this blueprint tied together. So it's a complex picture that is taking shape here. We're understanding more and more every year the physics behind energy medicine. That's really what I'm trying to put together in this book, to explain how it is that it's not just a lot of mysticism, but there's real experiments and real data and real theories, really, to back up how all this fits together.
Well, let's fit it together now with consciousness, because so far, I mean, these meridians are they're still physical, they're matter, and energy is moving through that matter. But what is the information that needs to change to create new vitality in the body, and is it something that we can empower through our consciousness?
Yeah, one of the discoveries of the Russian scientists, Nikolai Kosarev and others, is that whenever there's a process, a physical process that loses information, they call it entropy increasing, it loses information, but actually there's another type of energy that is created at the same time that saves that information and can carry it, and you can transfer it someplace else. So actually, we don't lose information in the way that we thought in the old 19th century physics. It's possible to do things very efficiently. So this is what the torsion waves do. They're able to carry information and carry order, if you like, and help. After all, one of the biggest jobs for the cells is to be building up these complex structures of the various vessels and vehicles inside each cell. So it's a process of building, and doing it efficiently is a key. One of the mysteries for a long time has been, how is it that living systems are so efficient? How can they produce so much order without losing information, without wasting energy? And it appears that this torsion energy is the key to that. So in the book, I talk two chapters about this torsion energy, which is what the Chinese call qi, and how it fits into this whole picture, how it preserves this order and helps the body to build things efficiently without wasting energy.
Well, now let's look at somebody who has a physical ailment. And there is some modern understanding that if you have a physical ailment, it's often due to some psycho-emotional disturbance. So there's something out of balance in consciousness that becomes out of balance in the body. So it's an information glitch, let's say. But as you say, there's no loss of data. It just gets transformed into something else.
Yeah, one of the really interesting pieces of this whole puzzle, how the body responds when there is an illness, you can see by looking at some of the acupuncture work that's been done in Eastern Europe in recent years, because they've been able to decode the signals that pass through the acupuncture meridians, and they actually carry little holograms, little holographic patterns for the various organs that they are responsible for building up and maintaining. So what happens when somebody, when you have an illness, let's say your shoulder is sore, let's say you broke something or you strained something, the scientists are discovering that the symptoms in the acupuncture meridians actually become stronger in that area and make a pattern that corresponds to the injured tissue, the injured organ, and makes that part at a higher intensity than before. So the patterns of energy passing through the meridians carry the repair signals that tell the body how to correct as it grows. So there's a sort of a self-correcting system here. The DNA, you know, fundamentally is making these holographic patterns, but the acupuncture meridian system is helping to carry it to inform the DNA at the location what it's supposed to be doing to help. Now, of course, an acupuncture expert or an energy healer or anyone else who's doing alternative medicine is also trying to assist in that pattern and making that pattern stronger or helping to correct that pattern. But the body is as a built-in mechanism by which it increases the amplitude of the signal to try to help the body to correct for any illness or injury.
Well, that's beautiful, and it's nice to hear that even meridians have their own information system and know what they're doing, actually, in different parts of the body. And you said originally, you know, that DNA needs to know that a fingernail needs to be a fingernail, not just another cell of the body that has no form in particular. So this is we only have a few minutes left, and this is such a big discussion, actually. We've been jumping around in it because there's so much to try to hold, and it's only a half an hour show. I'm sure we'll talk again in the future. Because we all want to know more about this whole idea of how the body works in reality, not just in the chemistry of it or the material nature of it, but the life force and the information fields that create that life force. So this is a great work that you've done. This book is available. It's called Life Force: The Scientific Basis. And you are Dr. Claude Swanson. How can people reach you?
Well, the best way is the website, which is synchronizeduniverse.com. Synchronized is S-Y-N-C-H-R-O-N-I-Z-E-D, Synchronized Universe. Or if you just pop my name, Claude Swanson, into Google, the website will pop up first. And you can go there and find contact information and things like that. You know, one other point I wanted to make is that, you know, we went through a huge national debate recently about, you know, Obama and healthcare and things like that. But something that was never mentioned was alternative medicine. We spend 1/6 of our gross national product on healthcare. It's all about conventional, Western, fix people up after they're sick type medicine. But alternative medicine of this type is much less expensive, and you can prevent people from having those expensive health problems if you use it properly.
Right, so, and that's a discussion in itself about the competitive nature of medicine in this country.
Yeah, but hopefully, you know, certainly this type of medicine seems to me to be the future, and, you know, the way we ought to probably be looking at as a way to improve our system.
Well, we know it will be. It's just a matter of how long it takes to get there. So, Claude, thank you so much. I really appreciated you not only being on the show, but I so appreciate the work you're doing in your life to bring this to the public attention.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Right. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at Progressive Radio Network. And I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. And thank you so much for listening.